You are listening to the Sports Podcast with Josh Martinez.
Curry catches, three-pointer, bang! And the Lakers close out Kobe Bryant's career with a win and one of the great farewell performances in any sport.
I love you guys. And Mamba out.
Man, was it a historic night last night, B?
Mm-hmm.
Man, oh man. You heard some highlights right there from not only one, but two big games on the docket. Welcome in here to the Sports Podcast. Josh Martinez joined by Bryson Lester.
Yo.
And we got some things to talk about.
Yeah.
We got a lot to talk about. You heard two of the things we'll be talking about tonight. The Golden State Warriors making history. Kobe Bryant making history in his final game. Got a little bit of playoff talk, football talk, and some soccer. Yeah, okay. We got it. All right. Let's start, though, with last night.
Mm-hmm.
You and I, we had a really fun time at our communication award banquet. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it was time to go home to watch one last ride and one chase for history. Golden State Warriors did it. They broke the record to the shock of nobody. But they did it. 73 wins, 73-9 record so far this season. Or this season to close out the regular season. And, man, what a game. I mean, not only did they barely sneak by Memphis like they did in Memphis, but they throttled them. I stole your word.
I hope they're not too tired. You know, they had to give a lot down the stretch of this season to get this record, and I think it'll be worth it because they'll be remembered as one of the greatest teams of all time. They would have been anyways. But I hope they're not too tired. You know, their first round series against Houston shouldn't be much of a problem. But when you look at, you know, San Antonio or Oklahoma City down the road, it could be tough. You know, Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, those guys played a lot of minutes down the stretch where a lot of San Antonio's guys were sitting for a good majority of the time. So, I don't get me wrong. I'm stoked for that team that they got the record. I'm not going to lie, though. I'm kind of tired of talking about that they got the record. It's time now for them to put it on the line and win back-to-back titles because that record doesn't mean anything if you don't go win the championship.
No, you'll be known as the team that could have, that should have.
You'll be the Patriots. Didn't.
Yeah, you'll be 18-1, asterisk.
Yep.
So Some impressive performances out here, mainly out of the front-runner MVP candidate, Steph Curry scoring 46 points.
20 in points, the first quarter.
Yeah, 20 in the first quarter. And to add to that, 4 rebounds, 6 assists. Man, he was a plus 19 when he was on the floor.
Yeah.
They played so well. And like I mentioned, I was expecting it to be a closer game. But no, they wanted to leave no doubt in anybody's mind.
And they did. They didn't leave an inch of doubt. So, I mean, like I said, I hope they're ready. I hope they're rested and ready to go.
Yeah, as you mentioned, the first round of the playoffs, the Warriors will meet the Houston Rockets as a win from them was able to clinch up the number 8 spot, and they're into it. So, other part of history going on yesterday, B, was Kobe Bryant.
Mm-hmm.
And not only did he go out, but he went out with a bang.
Yes, he did.
60 points.
Yep. It's crazy.
Wow.
he must have been saving some in the tank for this last one, man. He looked great. I mean, how many field goal attempts did he have, though?
50-some.
I mean, then there's that. But it was a historical game, and, you know, the Jazz, I mean, man, they fell apart, but that's not what anybody wants to talk about. Everybody wants to talk about how Kobe put up 60 points, and it was very impressive. And for Kobe to go out on top like that, it's how you want to go out. And so often in sports, Josh, we see players play their final game not at their peak, and, you know, they kind of struggle along. But Kobe went out in style, man.
42 minutes he played.
Yeah,
you mentioned he saved something in the tank because he played 42 minutes. That's the most minutes out of every player on the team, and you knew he was going to do it. There was no doubt in anybody's mind that he was going to be sitting. I remember one of my favorites because it was hard to pick last night because of the two choices of history that we had to pick from. I ended up choosing the Lakers, and I watched them, and I watched Kobe give his put on a beautiful performance. But the thing that I look at the most at this was, you mentioned it, 22 of 50, 42 minutes. One of my favorite moments was when Byron Scott goes up to Kobe, and I believe it's the timeout midway through the fourth quarter, and he comes up to Kobe, and he's like, we just got six more minutes. You got that in this old tired body? And Kobe right there, yeah, I got it.
Yeah.
And he did. And he went out, hit 50 gracefully, and hit 60 from the free throw line.
Yeah.
Wow.
Crazy.
The thing for me, too, is this one's going to be hard for me to let him go.
Yeah.
He's always been a big part, and I know you have a different view, being from a different – from the other side of the tracks on this one. But for me, in a lot of people who know me know how much the city of Los Angeles means to me. Mm-hmm. Like, we talked in my Spanish class today a lot about identity, and we talked about how, what if there's a part of your identity that if somebody told you that's not part of you, you're not that. The part I was thinking of in that class was like the part of my identity that identifies with the city of Los Angeles. You see it in my sports teams and everything. Kobe Bryant has become such a big part of the Los Angeles identity. I mean, mm-hmm. B, when you think of LA, what do you think of?
Kobe. Right yeah. now, yeah.
I mean, you can go off at the beach, the palm trees, you know, the smog, the traffic.
But for sports fans. Kobe's
got to be in that.
It's it.
I mean, and he's been part of it for so long.
Yeah.
20 years.
I mean, the only time where I can look back at it and say, you know, I thought of another team for LA was when USC was in their dynasty run. And I think they were the ticket in LA. But and that just happened to coincide with around the time where Kobe was having some personal life struggles mm-hmm. and that kind of stuff. But ever since then, the city of LA has been owned by Kobe Bryant.
And you can't make a case for Blake Griffin or Chris Paul and the Clippers. You can't, because the Lakers run Los Angeles. That is their city. There has been five times in the past 20 years that the Lakers have ridden down Figueroa, right next to the Staples Center with their trophy, and in that parade. A lot of people will make the argument that LA is a baseball town. It's not. It's a basketball town. There's no doubt in my mind, because, you saw some Laker fans start to falter there at the end. They moved down the hall and mm-hmm. came to my side of the Staples Center. But, and the thing is like, I'm not particularly, I claim Lakers as one of my teams, but it's more because I love the city of LA.
Yeah.
And the Clippers, because of childhood reasons, going all the way back. But the Lakers stick with me because they're part of the LA.
Right.
They're part of that identity. Same reason why I love listening to NWA
mm-hmm.
or Snoop or anybody else from West Coast rap, in particular mm-hmm. LA rap, is because that's part of the identity, and I love it. I don't know. I'm going to have a cool column about it coming up on culturalphenoms.com about this.
Yeah.
But be anything you want to say? Are you still reeling from this loss by your Jazz?
A little bit. I went to bed and they were up like 20.
You were telling me this story. Tell me how last night went for you.
So I got home because I get up so early to do the radio show. I don't know how much they were up particularly at halftime. But it was a big number. They were up fairly large at halftime. And I'm like, okay, you know, the Warriors are in control of the Memphis game. They're going to get 73 wins. The Lakers are pretty much out of this game. The Jazz are going to win, but Kobe's having a good game. I can go to bed. Woke up, pulled my phone out. I had a couple text messages making note of the game, and I'm like, what happened? And so I pulled my phone open and saw that the Jazz had lost, and I just got so upset. And then I pulled the box score up, and Kobe had 60 points, and I went, fine. And I put my phone down, and I rolled back over and went to bed.
Now, when Bryson's saying he said fine, he audibly said fine.
I did.
With nobody else in the room.
And that's how much respect I have for Kobe, is I was so upset that the Jazz blew that game, but I saw Kobe had an amazing game, and I was like, fine, whatever. I love that guy. Man, my Jazz are a disaster, but that's not a topic for today.
No, that's going to be a topic for another day. We don't have many other days left.
Mm-hmm.
I just did that to be mean. B, the playoffs are here. With the Warriors making 73, and you mentioned it, you had your accolades in the regular season. Now it's time for something that matters.
Put up or shut up. It's go time now.
Looking at it here, you know, the East was set since a couple weeks ago.
It's at the bottom.
The bottom and some little adjustments, but we knew who the eight teams were going to be
pretty much
for a while. Looking here at the East first, the Cavaliers take the number one seed. They'll be taking on the number eight Pistons.
Sweep.
Raptors are going to be taking on the number seven Pacers.
Sweep.
The Heat will take on the number six Hornets.
Seven game series. Really intrigued.
Hawks and the Celtics in the 4-5 matchup.
No clue.
You know, here's the thing that I brought up a point to you, B, that yeah. The Warriors and the Spurs and Kobe have dominated the basketball headlines for so much, I haven't heard the name LeBron James in a long time.
When's the last time you heard the name Kevin Durant?
Kevin Durant. Russell Westbrook. I mean, I've heard Russell Westbrook a little bit more. But, I mean, the arguably who was supposed to be King James, the king of the NBA, got shut out by a skinny kid from Davidson. And they're still in Lumen. They're still one of the top contenders to come out of the East and play the most likely have a rematch or take on the Spurs. One of the two.
And so, the Toronto Raptors might have had their best season in franchise history, and I guarantee you, no like casual sports fans know that.
No, and the thing is like, you know, the Cavaliers are their number one. They still have one of the top players in the league in LeBron James. You know, not the best this year for obvious reasons because of a little man from Davidson. But you mentioned they're going to sweep the Pistons. I mean, the Pistons got in there. For once, the East has everybody with a winning record.
It's about damn time.
I know, for reals. But, you know, that's still a team that can pose a threat with everybody sure. healthy. I mean, we saw what they could do when they were all healthy against the Warriors last year.
Yeah.
I mean, in the finals. And as you mentioned it, Toronto. Best game of – one of the best seasons that they've had ever. And nobody's talking about them. You really think that one will be a sweep?
Not even. Yeah, I don't think much of Indiana at all. No. I really – Jay, I'm very, very close to picking Toronto to win the East.
Really?
Yes.
You think we'll see it'll come down to Toronto and Cleveland?
I do.
Though I like the one that you said, Heat and the Hornets.
That's the most intriguing series to me because Miami, you know, they're liable to go off at any time. They have the talent to do so. Charlotte's had a great year. Charlotte has had a fantastic year. So I really loved what Kemba Walker's done. I really feel like he should be most improved player this season.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very excited for that one. The Atlanta-Boston series doesn't do anything for me. I don't enjoy watching either of those teams play basketball.
No, and it was funny because it wasn't long ago that we were talking about how good the Hawks were.
Right.
And the thing, though, is that I did not see the Celtics working their way into the playoffs because they've been so mediocre.
Man,
for so
Brad
long.
Stevens is a phenomenal coach. That's what I'll tell you about Boston.
I think just by pure thing, I look at this and I think Boston pulls this one out, but
too.
I don't think they make it out. And I'm going to give it Boston in six.
Okay.
I don't think this one goes to seven. And I wouldn't be surprised to even say it go five, but official prediction, I give it six okay. in this one.
Yeah.
Let's move down to the West where I know what you're going to answer this one, Warriors and Rockets.
Warriors in five. Houston will get one.
Oh, that's not what I thought you'd
say.
No,
I think Houston's going to get one. James Harden's playing well enough that he will the Rockets to a win at home.
So you give them game three or four, one
yeah,
of those two?
I think three. It'll be one of those standard series where the home team steals game three and then the better team wins game four to just win game five.
All right. Next matchup, we'll have Spurs and Memphis.
Spurs in four.
Yeah. Memphis did not impress me. I mean, they don't look good. And Marc Gasol is still injured, isn't he?
Correct.
So, I mean, when your big man is not there to really help out against still one of the best big men in the league, still in Tim Duncan, and the Spurs have just been playing phenomenal lately. Their starters got a good rest. 3-6 matchup. We've got Thunder and Mavericks.
I like Dallas. I think Darren Williams has played really well. Dirk is still Dirk, which is awesome. And Wesley Matthews has been great for them this year, coming back from injury. I think this is a closer series than a lot of people do. I think it's Thunder in six.
I love the Thunder. Russell Westbrook, he's not going to, given the season that Steph Curry has, but has made a strong case at MVP. Yeah. He's not going to get it because of Steph Curry. But he's played well. I mean, his triple-double numbers have been off the charts lately, mm-hmm. and he's been playing phenomenal. I've been nothing but impressed with Russell Westbrook, and as you mentioned, Kevin Durant, too.
Yeah.
I agree with you. I think this one will be a little bit closer. I think this one I give Thunder in 5 instead of 6. But again, I wouldn't be surprised to see Dallas, because I don't think a lot of Dallas, but they surprised me as of late. I like this matchup, Clippers and Blazers.
I do, too.
I think this is going to be a fun one. A really fun one. I see this one being the one that goes to 7 in the first round.
I do, too, and I think Portland takes it in 7.
You know, and it hurts me to say it, but I think I agree with you. Because this, I don't trust what the Clippers have been doing lately.
Here's my thing, Josh, is eventually Doc Rivers has got to step back and realize that something needs to change. Either Blake's got to go for role players, or DeAndre's got to go to get role players. I wouldn't get rid of Chris Paul. But, I mean, the way the Clippers are constructed, you know, the 4th seed in the West and a second-round appearance is what they're built for, you know?
But not further.
Right, exactly. They're not a championship team as constituted. And what really is weird to me is I really don't know why. Because when you look at their starting lineup and their bench this season particularly, they have the pieces. They just don't play particularly well together. And I realize Blake Griffin missed a lot of the season, but I almost felt like a lot of the times Clippers played better when Blake Griffin wasn't on the floor as opposed to when he was. So it's just, the Clippers are so weird to me. And Damian Lillard in 2 or 3 years will be regarded as one of the top 5 players in the league. And I really feel like he has a breakout performance in this series.
Here's the thing, I look at this because, you know, by eye judgment, everything's there for the Clippers.
Right.
They've got one of the few big men who still plays the big man game in this mm-hmm. in a league that's going further and further mm-hmm. away from the basket. But the thing is we saw it last offseason. There's a fissure in the locker room.
Right.
And whether it's Blake Griffin and somebody else punching somebody out, that's not the thing you want to come out of the locker room. An open thing between Chris Paul and DeAndre Jordan, like, obviously butting heads. And, I mean, it didn't help that Lance Stephenson and Josh Smith were there, who aren't good for locker rooms to begin with.
What
Matt
a disaster.
Barnes the year before. Yeah. I mean, there's stuff that we're not seeing. And the new coat of paint with the Clippers is not helping. The fact of the matter is Donald Sterling might be gone, but these Clippers are still the same old Clippers, just they're winning more than normal. And no amount of crappy little new logo is going to change that from everyone.
And you were alluding to it. They have one of the best point guards in the league. They start one of the best sharpshooters in the league at shooting guard. Small forward, they lack a little bit. But they bring one of the best small forwards off the bench when you look at Jamal Crawford.
Mm-hmm.
And then they have one of what was perceived as one of the best power forwards in the league. I've never felt that way about Blake Griffin, but a lot of analysts do. And you mentioned it, one of the last good big men in the league. You know, I compare DeAndre Jordan and Rudy Gobert a lot of the times as they're kind of the last of a dying breed. And this team should be better than they are. Now, in the Western Conference this year was absolutely stacked. And so maybe fourth is as good as they are. And maybe they're better than we think they are just because we haven't seen them play because everybody else has dominated the headlines. But I still like Portland. I think Damian Lillard is going to have his time right now.
I think I'm calling it that, whether it's right after this round or second round, because if they get past this round, there's no way they're getting past San Antonio.
No.
So, you know, at most, you know, by some stretch, because I do agree with you, I think Damian Lillard, because Damian Lillard had to live with a lot of criticism and a lot of, well, can he get it done because of everybody leaving Portland? And he got this team to the 5th seed.
Yeah.
This was a team that you and I both said, and Sports Illustrated picked them to go last mm-hmm. in the East. They picked them to be worse than the Timberwolves and the Lakers, who are the two lower teams in the West. And he proved them wrong and got them to where they are right now.
Yeah.
And a favorable matchup, too, at that. So I like this matchup, but I'm calling right now that whenever the Clippers season ends, Blake Griffin is heavily up on the trading block.
Yeah.
That as much as Clipper fans hate to see it, and as much as I will wave with a big wide wave as all those bandwagon fans head to wherever Blake Griffin goes, but you're absolutely right. They need to get rid of Blake. I think the thing that they need to do is stick to their identity of keeping the big man, because that's what's going to set them apart, because that's what works when DeAndre is such a good defender. And you keep Chris Paul, as you mentioned, keep J.J. Redick where he's at, and look for some more role players to do that, because Blake, clearly for me, as good as he plays, isn't working out for them.
Correct.
So I have some strong feelings about my Clippers. But, all right, B, real quick before we transition, your early finals prediction, who do we have playing?
San Antonio and Toronto.
I had San Antonio. You know, when the season started, I had picked the Thunder because I liked the Thunder a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I just have a hard time picking against either the Warriors or the Spurs. Yes, and I like the Thunder.
Mm-hmm.
But because of those years, I think that the Thunder are a championship caliber team this year.
Mm-hmm.
But because of how good the other two played, I can't pick them. So I think I go San Antonio. And I think I'm going to stick with Cleveland in this one. I think we're going to have a great series between Cleveland and Toronto down the stretch, and I think Cleveland gets back to it. So I think we'll see Cleveland and San Antonio, and Tim Duncan gets a sixth.
Remember that year the Cavs were the one seed, but they kind of fell apart in the playoffs and they lost to Orlando just because things weren't working? I'm feeling shades of that going into this playoff run for Cleveland.
I could see it. You know, there hasn't been a lot. And we can't forget that they don't have the coach that took them to the finals last year, David Blatt, which...
Tyronn Lue's biggest accomplishment was getting stepped over by Allen Iverson. So.
and they're looking to get there. I mean, I'm excited for this year's playoffs because there's a lot of big names. So the thing is if these teams fall, if San Antonio or Golden State go out before the conference finals, then it's almost to me going to have a March Madness feel to it when a 12 seed topples the 5 seed a 14 seed topples the 3rd seed? Is that who they play? Yeah. So, all right, B. Couple more topics here before we peace out for the night. Big headline news coming out this morning as the Los Angeles Rams, which is still weird for me to say, have traded to the Tennessee Titans, and it was all draft picks, including some draft picks coming from the next year. But now the Los Angeles Rams have the number one pick in the NFL draft, which changes everybody's draft board to put the argument Carson Wentz or Jared Goff.
Yeah.
Because the Rams are in desperate need of a quarterback, and they're looking to build a franchise around it.
I feel like it's Wentz. The gut feeling says it's Wentz. And they gave up a lot. They must have a lot of faith in him. We don't know for sure. Obviously, they are in absolute love with someone because they just bet the house on him.
Mm-hmm.
So whoever it is, they better be 100% confident in because they give up a lot to get it.
And here's the thing I always find very interesting about a trade like this is, as you mentioned, a lot of trust goes into it. And this is something we won't see if it pays off for at least a year or two because, Carson Wentz might come in and have a great impact, and this is how I tend to see quarterbacks coming out right now this year, tend to have what I call like the Derek Carr, like Bortles effect, where it takes them a couple of years to get established. If they do that and the Rams pick up Wentz or Goff and then turn around and then, get to 5 wins and then move up further and just get inch closer and closer like the Raiders are doing right now with Derek Carr, it can be very frustrating. It's not like in basketball where I feel like these big blockbuster trades and stuff make huge impacts right away. So in the NFL, whoever picks, you're going to have to wait at least a year or two to see if this trade pays off.
Mm-hmm.
And that's nuts. And LA, as you mentioned, they bet the house. They gave a lot of trade picks. He gave quite a few. What was the stat that we read today? Wasn't it... 5 picks in the first 3 rounds or something like that.
Pretty much is what it equated to.
For Tennessee to get now. So if I'm Tennessee, I gave up the number one pick. But, they picked up a solid running back in the offseason.
Mm-hmm.
They've got a good quarterback in Marcus right. Mariota.
And if you're Tennessee and you have nobody that you're like, we want that guy, you do exactly what they did, and they made the smart move.
Because now they can take these pieces because, you know, a lot of these role players that are going to come in particular, I feel like Tennessee's going to look at the defense, which was what they were projected to pick as a number one pick. They're going to now fill out – they're going to round out their defense very nicely with some solid picks.
Right.
Maybe see Killebrew go to Tennessee?
Maybe.
Maybe. All right, B. Final mm-hmm. final topic of the night.
Okay. You're going to have to educate me on this one.
I am going to have to educate you. But I saw this come across the docket. Some very interesting news as FC Barcelona was knocked out of the UEFA Champions League. Now, for those who don't know, the UEFA Championship League is basically when all European clubs play each other. Kind of like here in America for soccer fans, when the CONCACAF Champions League is going on, you have like Real Salt Lake playing teams from Mexico or from Guatemala or whatever that, because the CONCACAF covers North America as well as some of the Caribbean islands. So they'll right. play clubs from there, not the national teams. They'll play the clubs. Now, as I mentioned, this one, and this is usually argued as the biggest one because of the caliber of teams that are in Europe. You've got the teams from England playing, France, Germany, Spain. The top teams in the world are playing in this. They're playing in this, and what this all comes down to, though, is what had happened was yesterday. Atletico Madrid knocked off FC Barcelona 3-2 in aggregates in their round, and they shut them out 2-0. Now, we've seen this trio of forwards be,
mm-hmm.
And we're talking about Neymar, Luis Suarez, and arguably the best soccer player in the world, in Lionel Messi.
Mm-hmm.
And they got shut out.
Did they play?
They did. And here's wow. the thing. And here's the kicker that's really been a big part of this. Messi is now going on, I believe, I don't have the exact number, but somewhere between close to 450 minutes without scoring a goal.
Oh.
And that's where it's at. But, I mean, the thing about this, and a lot of non-soccer fans might not understand this, but arguably Barcelona, the best team in the world, just got bumped by I believe the second or third place team in La Liga, which is right. so top heavy. So to see this one fall, Barcelona can't now defend their championship. So that leaves it wide open, and we already saw some crazy things happening as Liverpool pulled back to win a 4-3 match today after they were down 3-0.
Wow.
So it's crazy, and it blows my mind that these good of players are now out.
Yeah.
It's shocking. Did I educate you fully?
You did.
Man, soccer, that is crazy. You know, the thing about European soccer, we can talk about how crazy it is sometimes, or how good these players are, but sometimes they throw something like this at you, and it's nuts.
Yeah.
This happened, and I couldn't believe it.
That's why you play the game.
Yeah. I just love the game.
I just love the game. In the words of
Carmelo Anthony.
I just love the game.
B, we had a good talk today, didn't
yes,
we?
Yes, sir.
And with that, and as I mentioned, we're going to be having some shorter podcasts because of finals week on the horizon. We're going to shoot for these 30-minute podcasts, and we thank you for joining in with us today. Hopefully going to have a little bit of a shorter one on Monday as well, and I'm kind of liking these 30-minute podcasts.
Mm-hmm.
Very to the point, and it's exciting, but thanks for listening. B, thanks for coming in.
Yes, sir.
All right, that's going to be it for us tonight. Be sure to check back on Monday, where hopefully we'll have a new podcast. It all depends on our homework load, as always. But we are going to be off the air until that time. Playoffs are starting this weekend, and we didn't talk about it a lot, but be sure to check out the NHL playoffs. The Capitals are going for a big... They're the clear favorites, as they have just been proven to be one of the top team this year. But there's a lot of depth, and a lot of people. Actually, I watched somebody pick the Flyers to beat the Capitals in the first round. So be sure to check those out. But until Monday, everybody, take it easy and have a great night.
Bye, Felicia.